From the LifeWord Studios, this is Life Perspectives with Michael Goring.
My very special guest today has a story that is both sobering and inspiring. It's a story that reminds us that the gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful enough to advance in even the most hostile places on earth. Marzia Amirzadeh, welcome to Life Perspectives. I've been looking forward to this conversation today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a great pleasure.
So let's begin. For viewers maybe who may not know your story, tell us a little bit about your upbringing in Iran. What was your understanding of faith and religion growing up?
I was born a few months before the Iranian revolution in 1979, and I always say I was not lucky to experience freedom in my birth country. And from my childhood, I started experiencing the impact of harsh rules of Islam in my life. And it started when I went to the school, because majority of Iranian people like me, they just born as a Muslim and they do not practice Islamic rules. At my home was the same. We never practiced Islam, and it start exactly at the age of 7 when you go to school, and the teachings and the brainwashing start there. And there are specific classes, they call it Quran class, that you have to participate. And it's all about the teachings of Islam and why, as a Muslim, we must obey the Islamic rules and practice those rules. And they will describe different kinds of punishments that if we disobey those rules, and that's the purpose, is to create fear in the minds of children to make sure that they do not disobey. And also I remember almost once a month they would invite a mullah, an ayatollah, to the schools, that he would preach and emphasizing on our enemies, that they believe that it's America and Israel, and justifying why America is their enemy and why Israel must be annihilated, and all those crazy teachings. So that create a confusion in the mind of someone like me and many other children who never knew where is America, where is Israel, and why we have to hate those countries, and forcing children to stand in line to say death to America and death to Israel every day. So I started questioning many things. I started questioning Islamic rules. When I was a teenager, I started reading Quran because I was so thirsty to find the truth, and I could not find the truth in Islam because of all those harsh rules, not only, you know, against many people, but especially the misogynist rules against women. So I was about 18 years old that God for the first time started talking to me through a dream. I shared all the details in both my books, Captive in Iran and A Love Journey with God, that are available on my website, marzisjourney.com, marzisjourney.com. And I try to share all the details. We don't have much time to go to the details, but I encourage people to read those books. And it started with that dream, and still I didn't know anything about Jesus, because it was God, through that dream, revealed his amazing love to me and the true face of Islam. And I put aside practicing Islamic rules. And the reason I did that for almost 2 years, because I wanted to find the truth. I wanted to make sure if God revealed himself to me, which it didn't happen. So finally, someone talked to me about Jesus. And it's a long journey that I gave my heart to Jesus because of having lots of visions, dreams, and God's miracle in my life, that I shared all the details in my book, A Love Journey with God. I call it a journey because it was truly a big journey, that step by step he would reveal himself through my dreams and visions and teaching me about himself and leading me to the right path and right places. So as I mentioned, I also call it a love journey because my life was very painful. I experienced lots of sufferings. But I believe God meant me to experience all those hardships and sufferings for a reason. Yeah. And I was about 25 years old that I left the country. After I became a Christian, I went to Turkey and I got some, theology leadership classes. I learned more about Christianity, and I returned to Iran with a friend, and we started a mission together by distributing Bibles. We distributed 20,000 Bibles in Tehran. Amazing. And a few other cities, and we started establishing home churches among women and young people. And finally, in 2009, some people reported about our activities, and we got arrested.
Yeah, and first of all, absolutely incredible how your journey, as you call it, and I think all of us as believers are, we've experienced something similar in the respect of we're on a journey, and it's discovering the Lord Jesus, and professing Him as our Savior. You left Iran, you went and got some studying, and then you came back with your friend. And 20,000 Bibles you distributed throughout Tehran and another city, right? And so we come to 2009, you're arrested. Can you take us back to that moment? What happened when the authorities detained you? I understand that during the interrogation, you were even pressed to deny Christ. So take us through all that, please.
I don't know exactly how that happened. What they told us, it was a morning that I received a call from a police station, and they told me there is some issues about my car documents, and they asked me to go to check. And that call was suspicious to me, but still I have to go to check because we bought a new car, and we were supposed to, we had already started taking Bibles to other cities, and that was concerning if there is any issue regarding my car documents. So I went there, and it was there they told me that the reason is because their guards, their security forces noticed that me and my friend are evangelizing and giving Bibles to people. It started there, but then they sent us to a jail for 14 days. They threatened our lives. They told us, you need to tell us all the truth, what you are doing, otherwise we will beat you until you vomit blood. And they kept us for 14 days in an underground dungeon that was horrible to be there. And usually they keep prisoners for maximum 2-3 days, because after that they send them to a court, and the court will decide if they get released or go to prison. But our case was a little different because the first meeting with the judge, I confronted him with my responses, which made him angry. And they decided to punish us, to keep us in that horrible place that we had to sleep on a cold concrete floor, cover ourselves with wet blankets that were soaked in urine and didn't have good food to eat. But finally, because it was close to the new year and they had to make decision about our case, and they sent us to Evin prison, which again, I witnessed many brutalities inside Evin prison. I firsthand experienced the execution of my cellmates. They executed my best friend. She was a Kurdish girl, and they never give her body back to the family. And the reason is that because the Islamic Republic regime rape single woman before their execution. It's a fatwa by Khomeini that allows, those security forces to have pleasure, but they call it to avoid women to go to heaven. They have to be raped. They should not be virgin. I witnessed many other brutalities in prison, tortures and sexual abuse of my cellmates. And it was during another big protest in Iran 2009 when there, another big protest happened and millions of Iranians came to the streets because of the fraud in election, and they arrested 100,000 of Iranians, tortured them. And about our, my case and my friend, they didn't know about, praise God, they didn't know that we distributed 20,000 Bibles. They didn't know about most of our work. Their only issue was our faith, because they charge us with apostasy, anti-government activities, promoting Christianity and blasphemy. And apostasy based on Sharia law is punishable by death. And in most of my interrogations, they would try to threaten my life, the life of my family members, and they told us, you need to convert back to Islam, otherwise you will face execution by hanging, which I refuse. It's lots of details, as I mentioned, I shared in my book, Captive in Iran, that people can read the details. And finally, because of lots of international pressures on the regime from human rights organizations, many Christian ministries got involved. And also Pope from Vatican sent a letter to government on behalf of us, which made them angry. And it was because of God's grace, his miracle, and all these international pressures on the regime, they got released. Otherwise, I would not be alive, like many Iranians that they killed in prison.
Yeah. And it was one of the most notorious prisons, correct, in Iran?
Yes, Evin prison.
Evin prison. You're sentenced to death by hanging. Yet even in prison, God used you to minister to others. And as you've sat here and given us the details of this, my mind and my heart is just broken that you had to go through that because of your faith. And that's something that we don't understand in America. We don't understand really the persecution that that Christians face in other parts of the world. But God used you even in the prison. How did the gospel begin to spread among other prisoners?
You know, as I mentioned, people can read my second book, A Love Journey with God. I shared my faith and my walking with Jesus from the beginning. And God talks to me through my dreams. Mm. I have lots of dreams that I usually write them down. And he continued giving me dreams in prison. And I can share some stories that how that impacted many prisoners through my dreams. God would reveal, for example, the future of some prisoners, and prisoners could see a big difference between, you know, Islam and our faith, that every time I had a dream or I would pray for them, a miracle would happen. But in prison, because of that, because the news was spreading, for example, one big miracle that happened, I was, they kept us in public ward, and they, one day they sent the person, a prisoner, she had life sentence. And from the first day she entered, I felt I need to pray for her. And I started praying, continue praying for her. And one day God gave me a dream. And in that dream, I saw myself, I was dividing fishes among prisoners, and they were standing in line coming to me. And when she came, I gave her the biggest fish. Hmm. When I awoke, it was the morning, and our cell was about 50 prisoners in that cell. And I decided to share that dream with her, and I shared in front of everyone. And with, I have no idea how I got the interpretation, because it was God's spirit put the words in my mouth. And as after I shared the dream, I told her, I strongly believe this is the last cell you entered in this prison, and you will get released. You are going to be here no more than 6 months. And as soon as I said that in front of everybody with 100% confidence, she looked at me and she laughed and she said, you know, you need to know I have a life sentence, and it's been 15 years I'm in this prison, and many people in the past many fortune tellers told me that one day I will get released, and this didn't happen. And I said, I'm not a fortune teller. I strongly believe that dream was from God, and this is going to happen. And exactly after 6 months, no more days, she got a pardon, and it exploded in the entire prison, and prisoners were shocking that how this happened. And it wasn't just that example. And after that, I never forget her face. She came to me with tears and she apologized. And she said, Marzi, the first thing I'm going to do after I get released to find the church, to find Bible, to read it. So that impacted, that was one big event that impacted many prisoners. But there are many stories that my friend and I shared in our book, Captive in Iran, that how God, through our prayers, through my dreams, would change the prison, which made prison authorities very angry. And they tried to isolate us, and they used different tactics, not allow us to be around other prisoners. For example, other criminals were free to go to facilities in prison, but they made it forbidden for us because they didn't want us to be around more prisoners. Prisoners were so interested to get to know us and to hear about our faith, and which made them frustrated because the news was spreading in whole prison. And even some guards at the end, they could see that faith and the miracles in prison, and they came to us and apologized for what they did to us.
It's incredible. Many people may be surprised to know and hear that the church in Iran is growing. It's the fastest growing Christian movement in the world. What are you seeing? I know that you don't live in Iran anymore, but what are you seeing God do among the Iranian people today?
You know, I can talk through my personal experience, 5 years having this ministry of evangelizing and running home churches. Iranian people are so thirsty to find the truth, and they are very receptive to the message of salvation. And during those years, and since the beginning of my faith in 1999, that I gave my heart to Jesus, I talked to about thousands of people, Iranian people, and I never had a bad experience. And mostly people were so open and wanted to know more about Jesus. And I know why my people are so thirsty, because they saw the true face of Islam that is fake, that is evil. And especially through this regime, that's why they don't want Islam in their lives. And especially since I left the country, it's been years that I never been in Iran, but I keep checking the news and hearing from Iranian people. And it was 2 years ago during Christmas, I found a video of hundreds of Iranians gathering behind a building church in the city of Isfahan. The name of the church is Wank. And they were calling, shouting, Jesus, open the door. We wanted to come in. Wow. And that made me so shocked that, you know, during my time, the time that I was living in Iran, it was so scary. No one would dare to go to the streets in hundreds behind the church and shouting loud that we wanted to come to the church. That tells me that my people are so thirsty. And as you said, Iran has the fastest growing churches. Unfortunately, most of these churches are underground churches.
Yes.
That means they had to, you know, create small churches at their home, which
secret
we did.
Secret churches.
Yeah. And I strongly believe after the fall of the regime, we will see that millions of Iranians gave their heart to Jesus. And my ministry, I found my ministry, newpersia.org, based on this prophecy in Jeremiah 49, that God's it's about God's promise about Elam, which is a city in southwest Iran, that God tells after destroying the kings and rulers of Iran, he will set his throne there. And it's not just about that verse in Bible. I remember when I was in prison, especially during the protests, that they arrested hundreds of people, tortured them. I was so angry. I talked to God before I sleep. I told him, why don't you kill them? Why don't you destroy them? And you let them to continue killing people. And when I slept, in my dream, I heard his voice, and he told me, I am giving them a chance to repent. But if not, I'm going to destroy them all. So when I woke up, I was thinking about God's words in my dream, that first of all, our God is God of love, that he gives the chance to everyone, even to the worst people, to repent. But the second part is about God's justice, that if they do not do that, justice will come. And these days we are witnessing God's justice against the rulers of Iran.
Yeah. So kind of transitioning here for a moment, we're recording this interview in March of 2026, and many headlines today involve rising tensions involving Iran and the broader Middle East. When you watch these developments, particularly the killing of the Ayatollah the Iranian regime bringing in a new Ayatollah, and then, you know, just kind of a cycle of that. As you watch the developments, what concerns you most for the people of Iran?
You know, for so many years, Iranian people came to the streets and protest against this regime, try to show their objections. And each time these savage terrorists suppressed people, and they arrested hundreds of thousands of Iranians. They executed hundreds of them in prisons. They shoot at people in the streets. And during the last protest in Iran, it was millions of people who came to the street nationwide, and they called the return of Prince Pahlavi because they noticed that they made a mistake in 1979 by not standing with the Shah of Iran, which they had their freedoms and they didn't appreciate their freedoms. And they were brainwashed, some of the people, by radical Muslims and communists. And they supported Khomeini come to power. And since then, they lost their freedoms. That's why they Iranian people became united in millions in every street, every cities, universities, villages. They call the return of Prince Pahlavi because they believe he is the only opposition that they can trust, because the regime has sent their agents, their fake oppositions outside, and Iranian people expose all of them. And he doesn't have any connection with the regime because, you know, the regime overthrew his father.
He's been exiled since the 70s,
yes,
right?
That's why Iranian people, and the regime has started killing tens of thousands of people. The news says 32,000 people were shot by the regime. But honestly, you need to multiply that number by 10. I know that hundred thousands of Iranians were killed by the regime. And if you look at the films, that's horrible. The body bags, and you can't find the body of women. Where are they? Because the regime stole the body of women, because they raped savagely many women that they got arrested during those protests, and they dumped their bodies in mass graves in landfills and covered it with trash. They remove, and those families that after fighting against the regime were able to get back the body of their loved ones, their daughters, they noticed that their womb is removed. Why is that? So they shoot it into the face of Iranian people to disfigure, especially women. And it's not a tactic that they use recently. They throw acid in the face of many women. They shoot at their eyes. So they killed hundreds of thousands of people, and people Iranian people were suffering. And for so many years, they tried to show to the Western people that we are different with the Islamic Republic regime. Iranian people are fighting against the Islamic regime, and they are too different. And still they are continue fighting. And during all those years, for example, in 2009, when millions of people came to the streets, they called the name of Obama. Are you standing with us or with them? But Obama betrayed Iranian people, not only stood with Iranian people, he made a terrible deal, JCPOA deal, and also sent billions of cash to the Ayatollahs, which made Iranian people so angry. But finally, President Trump and Israel is standing with Iranian people and helping them because they are fighting with bare hands. And this regime is so brutal, coming to the streets and with machine guns, with military weapons, shooting at innocent people that do not have anything to fight back. That's why they were asking America and Israel, please help us to get rid of this regime. And now they are celebrating all over the country. Even they are bombing the country. I think the history will remember Iran as a country that people were praying and begging foreign intervention to bomb them. And they are saying, it's not just me saying that, we are receiving our friends' messages in Iran, and we are watching the films that they are sharing. They are begging and asking, it doesn't matter. Even if we get killed by mistake, by shooting the bombs, we don't care. We wanted to get rid of this evil regime that to make sure that our children and grandchildren live in freedom. That's why they are thanking President Trump. They are thanking Prime Minister Netanyahu for standing with them.
Yeah. And what you mentioned, the exiled Crown Prince Pahlavi, to me, from everything that I've seen and read about him, it seems like he would bring stability to Iran, at least in the interim. He's a strong supporter for religious liberty. So that would give the opportunity for the Christian church to kind of come into the open. Is that right?
As I mentioned, he has many supports, and millions of people got united. And there is another fake deception that some supporters of the regime, those who lobby for the regime in the United States and Western countries, try to spread these lies and propagandas by telling that the oppositions are not united. That's a big lie. Iranian people, millions of Iranian people came to the street, chanted his name, and even some of them with their blood wrote on the walls of the streets, Javed Shah, that means long live the Shah. So they are united. And also Iranian people, if you look at Iranian people outside the country, we had rallies in many countries, millions of people, hundreds of thousands of people came to the streets and supported Prince Pahlavi. So Iranian people, first of all, after so many years, they are united and they know what they want. But there are fake oppositions that try to create division by saying that the oppositions are not united. Excuse me, Iranian people cannot be united by the fake exported oppositions that the regime is behind them, but no one knows.
I've got so many more questions, and our time is so limited. If I can just ask one more, how can believers in America and around the world be praying specifically for the church in Iran right now?
I believe Christians, we have power in Jesus' name, and we must be united in prayer. And it was just this morning that a friend of mine in another country sent me one of his dreams that he had about how God is going to destroy this darkness over Iran. That reminds me another vision God gave me a few years ago, and I'm writing about that, and I'm going to publish that article soon. It's a vision that God gave me a few years ago to how to break the curse and darkness over Iran, because I strongly believe there is satanic curse over the country. And God showed me in different dreams when I was living in Iran, and he also showed me how to break it. Because beside the military forces that are fighting in the region, we as Christians must create an army of prayers to start praying to break this curse over Iran. This is not just, you know, physical battle. This is a spiritual battle.
Yes.
And that another thing that I wanted to tell Christians, that it's not just about Iranian people getting released from these evil people. We should know that this enemy infiltrated in our country. They have penetrated threatening our national security. So even in churches, they try to create divisions among Christians not to stand with Israel that is fighting against our enemy. So what's happening in America and Western countries is really making me concerned. And I wanted to ask Christians to stand up because of the future of their own children and the enemy that is in our country, and for saving our Christian, Judeo-Christian values, we must be united in prayer to pray for Iranian people to be united, to be courageous against this regime, and also change the hearts and minds of Iranian people, because their true freedom comes when they see the truth through Jesus Christ.
Amen. My thanks to my very, very special guest, Marzeya Amirzadeh. You can learn more about her ministry, newpersia.org. I'm Michael Goring, and this has been Life Perspectives. Until next time, thanks for watching.